Thank you, Patrick, for reading both our scripture passages this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. The Boy Scouts have a motto: be prepared. I was never a Boy Scout. So when I was 11 years old, and my mom and I got this itch to explore the wild west lands of Glacier National Park, I did not give any thought to what I should wear or what gear I should bring. I was also unprepared for mountainous weather, which supposedly changes in an instant. We set out on the infamous Highline Trail, which showcases the beauty and diverse array of alpine flowers, the striking panoramas of God's creation. And it was sunny and warm, and I chose to wear jeans. Nearing the peak of an overlook, we watched as a storm cloud rolled through the valley. Faint thunder began to get a little bit louder. And then it got closer. And then it was on top of us. And because the storm could not get over the mountain, it sat right on top of us. I had a raincoat, but as you can imagine, soaking wet jeans, wind, and no shelter was miserable. And we were trying to reach the secluded, stony chalet in a distance, about a mile away. In the months leading up to this trip, I daydreamed often about the wildlife and the exotic ecosystems I might be a part of. I never once expected to be wet, cold, and miserable beyond belief. I was fully doubting our choice with all the attitude of an 11-year-old boy could give, not enjoying his day. Lying in a jail cell for preaching in the wilderness, facing the likelihood that he could be killed, John the Baptist may be thinking back upon that first time he encountered Jesus, approaching him by the Jordan. He was not sure that this was the Messiah. Well, he was very sure that this was the Messiah. Having spent his ministry preparing the way for someone that was greater, John tells Jesus, "I need you to baptize me." So he was sure of it. But now, in the jail cell, he is having some doubts. If you recall earlier in Matthew, John believed that the coming Messiah would storm across the countryside, sword in hand, meting out injustice, toppling kings, replacing power in new partisan hands, separating the wheat from the chaff, and sending the unrighteous into ovens like straw. John imagined a savior who was harsh, judgmental, with little room for grace. His expectations of the Messiah were shaping how he perceived Jesus, leading him to send a message to Jesus. Are you really the one? Or is God sending someone who is mightier than you, one that fits my image of what the Savior should be? Don't we carry expectations of how God ought to show up in our lives? It's got to be big, definitive, certain. If God shows up, my test results will come back clear without any signs. If God shows up, my situation at work will improve. If God shows up, I'll have more money in the bank, or my spouse and I will begin to get along better. John finds himself in a jail cell and says, "Are you sure you are God with us?" When God does not meet our expectations or our demands, we lose something precious, and that is our ability to perceive, to notice the presence of grace and the presence that is God's love with us. Years ago, Harvard University conducted an experiment on expectation over perception. The test became known as the experiment of the red six of spades. You might already see where that's going. A person was given a deck of playing cards and instructed to thumb through it to see if anything was unusual about it. Only the deck was rigged. The six of spades is red instead of black. The experiment revealed that in most cases, a person would not recognize the irregularity. Because almost everyone is familiar with the playing deck of cards, we all expect the spades to be black. And although we see the six of spades, our expectation overrides our perception. So in the case of the experiment, seeing is not believing. Literally, you don't think with your eyes because your expectation, your certainty, does not allow you to recognize or perceive something new. Even though your eyes glance at the red six of spades, it does not register. Could it be that in our lives, our expectations or our tightly held certainties about how God should break into our daily living, that when God does in a way that does not meet those expectations, we are unable to perceive how God really is with us? Meaning we can see what God is doing, but we don't notice it. And we cannot name it for ourselves how God is moving. Are we so preoccupied with what isn't going well in our lives or in the world as proof that God is absent or doesn't care enough for us that we miss in Isaiah's words the new thing God is doing? We live in a time of algorithms designed to keep us engaged and scrolling endlessly on social media. One way they achieve this is by putting in front of us entertainment, news, ideas that meet our expectation. If you click on every cat video, the algorithm will give you more cat videos. And because we are often engaged most with strong emotions like outrage or fear, we can expect a higher frequency of posts that are meant to get our blood boiling. It is meant to keep you engaged, scrolling, clicking, but it's more than that. It is reprogramming our expectation about each other, our world, ourselves, and I believe God. Among other aspects of health, it impacts our spiritual health. Because if we are reminded over and over of the horrible things going on, everything is falling apart, we not only start to believe it, we come to expect it. And if we come to expect that those things are proof that God is absent or does not care and cannot perceive the new thing God is doing, then we have found ourselves in a spiritual crisis. Peace, joy, love, hope. We cannot perceive it breaking into our lives because it's naive in this world to expect God to move in such ways. John finds himself in a jail cell, just as we too can feel isolated, cut off, doubting a deeper love where hope can fade with every second. Like John, we doubt God's goodness. We doubt whether God's ways have any power, what is happening in our lives or in our community. However, despite being in jail, despite facing persecution, John shows a little resilience here. Because he could have just remained in despair. He could have done nothing at all. However, his faith has a little grit to it. He calls his disciples and he sends them to find Jesus and deliver a message to him, a word to Jesus. Through his disciples, John does not stay in his despair, and he's very honest. Jesus, help me out because I'm spiraling. I'm having doubts about you that you really are the Messiah. This is not what I expected. Are you sure there is not someone else? The disciples pass along the message, and Jesus, being Jesus, doesn't give a yes or no answer, but instead puts the response on the disciples. And I believe on us as well. Jesus tells John's disciples to bear witness to what they saw and heard. Jesus lets them in on the expectations of how God is moving and healing, and it looks like restoration and redemption. It looks like good news to those who many would consider the least of these. And we don't know what stories John's disciples brought back with them. Perhaps they told the story of a leper banished beyond city limits because of his condition. John, you should have seen it, they might have said. This man had been living on the outside of town for 4 months, away from his wife, kids, and parents and siblings, and Jesus healed him, and we watched as his family surrounded him with love and his kids wrestled him to the ground. Another could have said, John, we were waiting to see Jesus when four people carrying a man on a cot pushed us aside in the crowd, climbed the rooftop, and you won't believe, these friends dug into the roof and carefully lowered the man they loved at Jesus' feet. And because of their faith and trust in Jesus, the man stood up and he carried his mat with him. They could have said, hey, John, we spoke with a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and she was convinced that when she reached out in faith to touch Jesus' cloak, at that moment, she was healed of her condition. John, we are telling you, it's story after story, and undeniable that things are looking up for the people who were feeling so defeated. We don't know what stories they told or John's reaction, but they experienced God with them, and the divine was in the details. It was in the subtle moments, the red six of spades moments, with which they experienced the Messiah, God's anointed. Story after story, encounter after encounter, something begins to happen for them and for us. And that is our expectations begin to change. I was cold. I was cold. My jeans were soaked through with rain. I'm telling you, that thunder was right above our head. We are right next to it. We're in the storm cloud. We even ran into a mother grizzly bear and her cubs. And by the grace of God, they continued to go back down the mountain. And we got to the mountain chalet, and we sat at a table with this older couple who, like us, needed shelter, although they had full rain gear, were completely dry. But by the warmth of the fire, they shared cheese. They shared some chocolate. And looking back, I know now, perhaps what I didn't know then, that God was absolutely present. And at first I thought it was just in the shelter and the sanctuary of the chalet and the cheese and in the chocolate. However, the next time we went hiking in the mountains, we got ourselves a pair of rain pants and a rain jacket and some gaiters for our boots. And the first time I had all my gear on and a storm hit, I actually gave thanks for those wet jeans. I gave thanks for the storm at Glacier. I thank God for getting me through, giving me wisdom to notice God at work, because if I could perceive God in the dangerous mountain storm, then I can perceive God in times of tremendous loss, in times when our budget is tight, in times when health is failing. We can perceive in times of division and injustice that God still heals, still brings back life, still brings good news to the poor, and still moves in ways that are love and just. Are we prepared for the Messiah to be born in our lives? Do we hold rigid expectations of how or when God is actually with us? How might we, in times of doubt or despair, show some grit, reflect on our lives, listen to the stories, asking, what didn't I notice at first? But now I see that red six of spades. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, meaning arrival. We wait for the arrival of God with us. And so we're going to try something new today. After our hymn, as we name the joys and concerns, as we normally do, we're going to try something new. If you would like to, you can think about now, but to share where you saw or heard God in the past week. And so you don't have to share. It could be just for you. But if you feel like you want to share something at that moment, feel free. But by sharing our stories, we can and will create a new algorithm. An algorithm that keeps us engaged in the ways God moves, comforts, and holds us. May this way of being be born, a way of hope through all of life's journey. Amen. Amen. Amen.